If you would like to stay up to date on what is happening on A1B, please click the like button above chat to follow us on Facebook. Thank you for joining us. The comments made and opinions given by show hosts and guests are not necessarily those of the All One Broadcast or its sponsors.
Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to Insights Radio. Have a fantastic guy on this evening. And, man, I'll tell you what, trying to get him to come on was like pulling teeth. Now, keep in mind, he lives across the pond. And you know how people are when they're across the pond. They're 5 hours ahead of us. So we're doing a little quick pre-record here because I actually want to have this guy on and have him share some of his experiences and some of the things that he does. And with me this evening is Alan Cox. Mr. Cox.
Hello, Craig. Thank you very much indeed for inviting me on. You know, if I was able to be on at 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning, I would. But I need to get my shut eye, and you know more than anybody else, do I need to get my shut eye?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, plus it's an age thing, and so we won't go into that. But, Alan, you know, things in my life have drastically changed, and as you know, this last year has not been an easy one for me. You know, it's some days it's day to day, some days it's hour to hour, you know, but I try to stay open and try not to, you know, make it a me thing. And when I do look around, there are so many people out there today, and it seems like you don't have to look very far anymore. There's a lot of not nice things going on to a lot of very good people. What can we attribute that to, you think?
I do feel that the world at the moment is going through a terrible ordeal. It's literally almost like a fight to the death in some ways, between the good energies and the bad energies. I do sincerely believe that good will overcome the bad. But if you look at it on a worldwide basis, there's threats of fighting wars. There's unrest all over the planet. There's monetary difficulties all over the planet. The supposed rich countries like the USA and the United Kingdom are suffering. And then you go down to an individual basis. And, you know, we kind of talk about world affairs as if it's, I don't know, it's in another kind of dimension. But the truth is it comes down to individuals, and it has a knock-on effect. And there's always some people who are fortunate enough to be immune from it. But the majority of people, it affects greatly in one way or another. And until this upheaval is sorted out, I do feel that we've got quite a long way to go yet. I don't know how you look at it, Craig.
Well, you know, I look at it that way too. And I was thinking today, and in the last couple of days, it's just kind of, and it's not just me. I mean, I've talked to several clients, and I mean, it seems like a lot of things are going on in their lives that really shouldn't be. And, you know, even a month ago when I, you know, did a reading for them, these things weren't there. But now they're, like, right there, and it's like, you know, and then, I don't know, it hit me this morning, you know, there is so much negative energy out there right now with the stuff going on with North Korea, South Korea, you know, and then now we're sticking our nose in there, they've been threatening us, and, you know, every day on the internet, every day on the news, you know, North Korea to launch rockets at any moment. And, you know, I think, and I find and have found, you know, in the past, even going back to 9/11, I mean, the energy after 9/11 for days and weeks was just yuck.
So it is a strange thing, Craig. And I know on the world stage, 9/11 obviously was the biggest thing, and is still in people's minds. But us over here, we had 7/7, 7th of July, and when underground bombs were let off the underground on the buses on the transport around London, and although it wasn't on the same grand scale as what New Yorkers suffered, it's still a very frightening thing, and you do wonder what mankind has come to, don't you?
Well, you know, I 6 months ago, Alan, you know, last year when we went through this whole thing, you know, the world's coming to an end and the big countdown to that because of the Mayan calendars. And, you know, everybody was in an uproar over that. And it seems like at that time, it felt to me like, you know, and I still feel that this is part of it. In so many ways, we as a universe are going through a rebirthing process. And I really don't feel like we can walk through life doing the things that we do, mistreating the universe, and by that I'm talking about the chemicals, you know, the trash, everything that we do, and being greedy with our hands out and only thinking about ourselves, and not have something happen at some point.
Yeah, I tell you what I find a bit cynical as well sometimes is I presume it's the same over in America. But over here, it's like a disaster or a disaster waiting to happen. It's the main news headlines. And okay, at the moment, it was North Korea. But then Margaret Thatcher dies.
Right.
So suddenly North Korea isn't as important. All the news, all the time, is about Margaret Thatcher because she's died. But then before Margaret Thatcher and before it's North Korea, it was Syria. Now, North Korea comes along, so Syria doesn't get mentioned on. So, and almost, if you rely on the media, they make you feel like, oh, well, that problem's gone away because it's not headline news anymore.
Right.
I presume it's the same over in the States.
Sure it is, Alan. You know, and I'll give you a couple of examples of some things that, you know, at the moment were big things, and then everything just kind of got quiet. And the one thing that really sticks out in my mind was there was a cop out in California that, for whatever reason, was fired. He felt like he was discriminated against and everything else. And, you know, the guy kind of went off the deep end. Ended up, I forget what it was, he killed like two or three people. You know, they trapped him in this cabin up in the mountains of California, burnt the cabin to the ground. I mean, they literally burnt the cabin to the ground.
That actually got to our news, that did. Yeah.
You know, they had helicopters hovering overhead with the news media taking the live shots, and they closed the air around there and ordered them out of the area, and they set the place on fire. You know, ironically, and I'm going to tie this together with something else, and you might not have been prepared for this, but ironically, the only thing that survived that fire was his identification. And, you know, that sounds so familiar to the stuff that happened at 9/11 in the Twin Towers when the planes hit. There was nothing left. Everything was destroyed. I mean, iron melted into puddles. But they found the pilots and the hijackers' identifications.
Incredible.
You know, and that was a big thing. And then all at once, poof, we never heard anything more about this guy other than they identified that it was him, you know,
yes,
in there. So, you know, the media has become, I really believe, politically controlled.
Yeah, We do only get told what they want us to know. Mm-hmm. And anything can be put under the banner of national security. And I think it's a kind of ignorance is bliss type of thing. Well, if you don't know about it, you can't be concerned about it. And we could sort this out without any of you lot out there having to do anything. And I'm afraid we do live in a cynical society, don't we?
You know, the thing that scares me, Alan, is... And I don't remember the name of the bill. It was H.R. something that was passed here in the United States. You know, and there was so many things going on the news. And all at once, bang, just out of the blue, they come across and say, oh, you know, we appropriated, I think it was like $66.7 million or billion dollars for drones to patrol the United States. Now... I'm confused because I think that we live in a civilized society for the most part. And other than what happened on 9/11, they claim that was a terrorist attack. At times I question that because evidence really doesn't point towards that. And there's a lot of things that really makes me scratch my head and go, You know, so... To me, and with some of the things that have happened in the last 4 years governmentally, I look at it sometimes like, wow, the only terrorists we have in the United States are the people living in Washington. And by that, I'm talking about our senators, legislators, and the president. You know, what's that like over there?
I tell you what I find a little bit hard to grasp is that, okay... Al-Qaeda, Taliban, you know, all these different organizations, terrorist organizations, they had the wherefore out. Let's just accept for a moment and say, yes, this, what happened on 9/11 and what happened in London was organized by Al-Qaeda and it was carried out. And they did cause... monumental damage and loss of lives that shocked the world. Now, if I was able to do that, part I don't understand, I'm so glad it hasn't happened since, but how has something like that not happened again? They got past all the security before, and I understand the security would be tightened up, but it's like... they've done these things, but now they're on the back foot, and I really hope that they are on the back foot and that they are going to be dealt with once and for all. But something doesn't kind of ring true somewhere, and I can't quite get my finger on that.
Yeah, it's there's a whole lot more going on here than we are being told. I really believe, and but I've always felt this way about the government at times. You know, there are so many backdoor things that happen with our government than through the front door and in the eye of the public. And you know, I kind of become I don't want to say I'm radical, but I really question the authority that our government has given itself, and I really, really feel like they're way out of touch with the people, you know. And actually, I always kind of thought that we, the people, were who they represent.
Well, yes, because if you look at the principles of democracy, it's impossible to please every single member citizen of a country. But the only way of doing it fairly is a democratic way, in the sense that you have an election and the ones who get the most votes are voted in. And so you all accept that, well, they're in for what amount the term is. You know, in your case, 4 years. Over here, it can be anything up to 5 years. and you accept it. But you vote for the principles and what they say they're going to do, and then what happens with most governments is that what you voted for, you don't get.
Right.
And that's the part that I find is so cynical. So, does it a manifesto? Does it really mean anything? You know, that they'll swap and change their principles as they go along, and like over here, when the last government was in office, the amount of MPs that were found out to be criminal, in the sense that that they got found out of fiddling their expenses and other things, and a number of them ended up in jail. It really makes you wonder what kind of society that we really do have. But the problem is, what's any better to replace it? Because you look at what goes on in the rest of the world, where you've got a communist state in China, you've got the dictators in different parts of the world. So have we got the best of a bad job, if you want to look at it like that?
That's a good question, Alan, and you know, that's a tough one to answer. You know, the problem that I see that we here in the United States have anyway, if you cause an uproar, if you talk out against or challenge, you know, they have come up with this little thing where they can find you as being a threat to the security of the United States of America and imprison you for no reason at all. You don't even have to go in front of a jury. You don't have to go in front of a judge. They just make the decision, and they can actually hold you without trial for up to 10 years.
That's unbelievable. Seriously, is that what it's like?
Yeah, that's one of the newest things that they passed here, you know, in the course of some of the other things that they've pushed through of late. So, you know, it's all fine and dandy to get mad. It's all fine and dandy to express your thoughts or your feelings, but if you cause a ruckus or, you know, outrightly challenge, then if they become threatened by you, you know, they just put you in jail and throw the key away.
And I suppose, you see, we've got a thing going on at the moment with this guy from Jordan, and I'm terrible with names, but he hasn't committed a crime in this country, but we've been trying to get rid of him for 10 years, apparently, and we've had him in jail, and then they've let him out, and jail let him out, and the only reason why he isn't going back to Jordan is because I say that his human rights would be violated through torture and that. And we thought only a fortnight ago that we got rid of him, and at the very last second, the European Human Rights said, no, you can't send him back. So we've got him back here again. And I suppose I can see from one point of view, it's like saying, well, people like this, what rights have they really got? Because they don't care about other people. But if you act in a way that is similar to them, just try and stop what they're doing, doesn't that make you as bad as them?
Yeah, you know, I had this conversation a couple days ago with a friend, and we were talking about some biblical stuff, you know, and I asked him, as I've asked guests on my show, you know, do you believe that there's just one God?
I believe that there is one almighty, yeah, the word almighty.
Okay.
What God is exactly in this lifetime, I haven't found out. Perhaps deep down I really know from a previous lifetime, but in this one, you know, is it a universal energy? I can't see it's a person, but I know that there is a love energy in this world, just like there is a hate energy in this world.
So with that being said, would it be safe to assume that the Catholic religion and the Jewish religion, now the Jewish religion is a little bit different, but the Lutherans, we all worship the same God?
I believe that there can only be one, if you want to use the word in a human terms, ruling energy.
Okay.
There can only be one. I see that all the different religions have their own way of reaching that the Almighty.
Okay. So with that being said, now, do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yes, I do.
So, clear back here, when we declared war on Iraq, and the U.S. and Britain and even Russia and the NATO forces got involved, and we were dropping bombs and blowing stuff up over there, and we had people here in the United States praying for the safety of our troops. I'm sure the same thing happened over in Britain and Turkey and Russia and everywhere that they had troops involved. Now you have the Iraqis over there. They're praying to God that they don't get killed and, you know, death on America. So what does God do in those situations? Flip a coin?
I see that the Almighty energy looks down and sees what, even if both sides say they believe in God and they ask for protection, I think God does look at the morality of it, and not that there's any morality in war at all, but if a country is being persecuted for no good reason, the only reason being somebody who wants to rule that country for their own reasons, then I do believe that God does come down on the side of the warring factors that are doing it out of defense and not out of aggression.
So let me ask you this, Alan. Do you believe in karma?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And karma's not so much what somebody does to you, but what we do to ourselves. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. We bring our own karma on. Of course, we do.
So is it possible? And I'm just going to throw this possibility out there. Is it possible that 9/11 really wasn't a terrorist attack, and that it was a setup, and it was a way for us to do away with Hussein over in Iraq and the Al-Qaeda and whatnot, and the things that are going on in our country today are a result of us doing wrong?
Well, you see, that's a very emotive thing to say, isn't it? You can't rule it out as being a possibility. But having said that, to say that your government could be so ruthless to kill thousands of people just to solve a political problem would be, well, it'd be damning in, I don't know, I'd be lost for words to, you know, but unfortunately, I suppose it is a possibility. Nobody will ever really know, will they?
No, we'll never know the truth. You know, there's...
I'll give you an example, right? If we go back to the Second World War. Now, you know, obviously it was before I was born. Not many years before I was born, actually. I was born in 1950, so the war only happened 5 years before. But there was a time during that war where Hitler with his German army had taken France completely, got Belgium. It basically got all those countries closest to the UK. There's only 21 miles dividing us, the North Sea, from France. And he wanted to rule Europe. We were at our knees. It comes out in the light afterwards, obviously. We were at our knees. We'd gotten virtually nothing going for us. There was even taking the metal railings from all the public parks around the country and melting down the metal to produce bullets. That's how in a bad position that we were. And we were there for the taking. And Hitler decided, oh, I'll get England, I'll get Britain afterwards. I'm going to get Russia now. And he had brought his troops to the French coast. And at the last minute, he gave the order for the troops to move to Russia. Now, if he'd have gone across then, I would not probably be sitting here talking to you now, because Europe and England would be a totally different place than it is today. Now, you can say that it's one man's decision, that he made the wrong decision, and that that was a stroke of luck. Well, you can look at it another way. Did God, the universal energy, put those thought patterns there to save Europe, to save the world, even though thousands and thousands of people perished and died during that conflict, that he did, that it was done in a way to actually make it so good could prevail over evil?
I don't know. You know, so if we take that a step further, and, you know, put that to the test, if that is the case, if God did intervene in that, or the universal force, however you want to look at it, why was 9/11 allowed? Look at the thousands of people that were killed in 9/11, not to mention the thousands that have been killed since.
I agree. I have, you know, you see that's it. You see, when you talk about something and you see the way that you see it and you explain the way you feel, and then somebody else comes back with another example that you can't answer, that's it exactly. You just can't answer it, can you? You can only go on how you feel about a particular event. And when it comes down to it, we've all got to accept our role in things in one form or another, haven't we? Even if we're not involved in a sense of fighting, being in the Army, Navy, Air Force, not being a politician, not even being a policeman, but perhaps our attitudes, what we give out there, and I say no man's an island, so you say the way you feel, like we're talking now on this radio program, and then somebody else, I think, yeah, I agree with that, or no, I don't agree with that, and then that can escalate, and then on a national scale, it creates the energy that we've got, and they say that we get the government that we deserve, that we've asked for. Is that true?
I don't believe that. I really don't. And, you know, to be real honest with you, as an American, as a taxpayer, as a voting member of society, I find it almost a shaming, or however you want to word it, that we can't find two better people to run this country than what we have. I mean, with the population of the United States and the simple fact that we give the small number of people, a handful, make up our legislators, our senators, and our president and vice president, and we allow them to control and to run the country, sometimes I question our freedoms.
Well, you take what's going on over here, right? Last weekend, last Monday, just gone, our Social Security benefit rules for what people are entitled to altered. Completely. And I know that our bill is totally out of control. I understand that, and something's got to be done about it. And this government is trying to target the ones who have misused the system, where it's actually you're better off in some jobs not working and claiming benefit than going to work. And I understand it's a difficult thing to try and sort a mess out like that. But when you get somebody who is genuine and they need the money, and if you over here now, if you live in social housing, in other words, a council house or a housing association home, and you've got more bedrooms than what you need, in other words, if there's two of you and you're a married couple and you've got another two bedrooms not being used, then they take so much of the person's social security money off them, because they should be renting those rooms out. So why should they have that room for themselves? Now, you can say, well, yeah, you can understand that. You know, that should be for perhaps a family of four or five or six, and only one or two, one person or two people are occupying that house. But then on the other hand, the wealthy people who are earning £150,000 a year or over, their income tax is being cut from 50 pence in the pound to 45 pence in the pound. So the people have got nothing, and they've got no savings, and they're just living on what they're given by the government, are worse off. Yet the people who've got over 150 grand a year coming in, they're 5p in the pound better off. Does that sound right?
No, but it's the same way here. I mean, it's reward the rich and steal from the poor. I mean, isn't that what Robin Hood was about? Stealing from the rich and saving the poor?
Well, he did it the other way around, didn't he? He stole from the rich and gave to the poor.
Right.
But, you see, I suppose there's no straightforward way of solving these problems out. But there never seems to be a middle ground. I mean, in your country, you've basically got two parties, really, haven't you? I know your constitution allows for other parties, but in all intents and purposes, you've got the Republicans and you've got the Democrats, haven't you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they fight it out every 4 years and in between. Over here, we're supposed to add a middle ground. You've got the Labour Party, the Conservative Party, and the Liberals, who became the Liberal Democrats, and they were like the middle ground. Well, that's gone now, because the Liberal Democrats are now holding the Conservatives into power with a coalition. So we've now not got a middle ground. So there are good things that the left do and believe in, and there's good things that the right do and believe in. If you could take a little bit of one and a little bit of the other and put it into the middle, wouldn't that solve a lot of things?
You know, it really would. And one of the things that I've always felt that's wrong here in the United States is why do we elect a president and then he picks his vice president? You know, if we got four or five people running, which has kind of been the way it's the apples rolled, so to speak, here of late, why not take the top two votes, no matter if they're a Republican and a Republican, or a Republican and a Democrat, or a Republican and an Independent, or whatever, and make them president and vice president?
Yeah, I can see the sense in that.
I mean, actually, then you got the blend of both parties. One is actually first in control. The second one's, you know, right below him. But let them knock heads together a little bit and try to come to an agreement, instead of the president trying to dictate what the Senate and the legislation should be doing.
But you have a situation over there where you could have a president, but because... I do get confused between the Congress and the Senate, so please excuse me. But he can belong to one political party, and the other political party can have the day-to-day power of the place. So sure. The president, in a sense, doesn't really get what he has been elected to do.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a Democrat sitting in the presidency, but the House and Senate's controlled by Republicans, you know, it's that's why I think simple fix to that is, you know, he doesn't appoint a vice president. We elect a vice president the same way we elect president, first and second place.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how do you... Okay, we've been talking politics. We've been talking world politics and country politics. How do you see that all this fits in to a spiritual existence? Because at the end of the day, you know, your program, and you've been a guest on my program, it is about psychic spirituality, the way that we see life, the way that we see spirit. How do you see that actually fits in to us as people trying to live a spiritual way of life?
Well, probably not very positively at the moment. And I think that, you know, we as a society have lost touch with our spirituality. You know, the one thing here, and I don't know what it's like over there, but here in the United States, you know, as people have things happen, negative things happen in their life, they usually end up sitting in church because they feel that, you know, organized religion, God, however you want to look at it, you know, is the answer. For the first time in a long time, I don't feel that we have that big rush back to organized religion. I think that when you look around, a lot more people out there are finding their path, so to speak, in spirituality. And I really think that last year, 2012, was the building of that. And a lot of people were being pushed and pulled, you know, into finding their real path, being enlightened. You know, what is being enlightened in my terminology mean? I think that not that something drastic has happened to me, but for all at once, it's like my eyes are open and I'm really starting to see things that are going on around me. And I think with that comes change, because some of the things that we're seeing, we're not liking.
Do you think that people, forgetting for a moment about the turmoil that's going on in different parts of the world, but as a generality, do you think that majority of people are becoming more compassionate, are caring more?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that today versus 3 years ago, definitely. Today versus 25 years ago, no, we're not even close. Excuse me, Ellen, I mean, we have lost touch in society. We have lost touch of reality in so many ways. And
actually, it's appropriate we're talking like this, and I mentioned earlier on about that Dame Margaret Thatcher passed away yesterday, and she had a big impact on the whole of the world, not just on Britain.
Correct.
And you could say that she was quite a formidable lady, and she knew her mind, and she altered things, and we were ruled by the unions over here, and she cracked the unions and that. But she actually said and believed that there was no such thing as society, just individual people. And she bred a generation of people over here who believe that it was right to be selfish, only care about themselves. All that mattered was money. And it didn't matter, as long as it was legal, it didn't matter how you got it. You could morally tread on people to get what you wanted. And she has left this kind of backlash, which has taken since the 1990s when she relinquished the power, to get now to where people are just about getting back to some kind of normality, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, Ellen, it's amazing that, you know, you look at some of the people that we have lost. You know, Sister Teresa is another one. Diana, Princess Diana was another one. You know, and you think about the things that Diana did for the world. You know, not just the people in England. You know, and then you look at the circumstances surrounding her death. It's like, wow, you know, she really didn't deserve to have that type of a death.
No, you're right. And even that is shrouded in mystery as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and it always will be. I really believe there's a whole lot more to that one than what we'll ever know.
And, well, yeah, exactly. I was just trying to think, you know, we go back to, you know, probably 25 minutes ago, we're not told everything.
Let me ask you this, Alan. You know, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, as dark as things may look, and as bleak as things may be at the moment, you know, I really believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, are we going to fix the world problems or cure everything that's going on out there in society? Probably not. You know, some of these things have been going on in society as far back as humans have been walking the face of the earth. But what do you think? You know, one of the major things that we can do, and I'm not just talking about you and me here, I'm talking about everybody out there that's listening to the show or that will hear the show. What can we all do to make this a better place?
I feel that we need to start to listen to others. A lot of people like other people to listen to them. But it doesn't always mean that they will listen to other people's point of view. It doesn't mean to say that you will agree with everything that everybody says or does. But as long as you respect other people and you don't try to belittle or drag people down and be there for other people, then we can have a better life, surely.
And how do we do that? I mean, what's the first step?
First step is at home, isn't it, really, or with your neighbours, to listen to them, find out if they're all right, especially if they're elderly people. You know, it's just, and then they say, well, that's just a small thing, but every person on this planet is important, and if it is possible for everybody to care about everybody else, then that will go through a nation, won't it? And if it goes through a nation, then it will go to political leaders. Because at the end of the day, I think sometimes they forget that they're people. You know, they are just people. You know, they go to the toilet like us. They go to sleep like us. You know, they eat their meals like us. So, but for some reason, they get in their position, and do they forget that they are one of us?
I don't know. If they do, would that be considered greed?
Well, see, human nature is a difficult one, Craig, isn't it? Because the world has tried communism, and it doesn't work. So the only other way is to have a free and independent societies. But human nature, there are some people who are greedy, aren't they? Some have got more get up and go about them than others. Will that ever be solved? I don't think. You know, you need people who want to do things, who want to make a success. Mm-hmm. It's about getting the balance, isn't it?
You know what I think, Alan, what the biggest problem in society today is that it's too easy to sit on our backsides and complain and watch things happen. And, you know, when someone steps up and says, oh, we need to change this, or they shouldn't be doing that, you know, if we can muster up the strength and the energy, and we'll stand back in the crowd and go, hear, hear, I agree. But nobody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be a follower.
Yeah, that's it. And it's, I suppose it's very easy for the followers to criticize the leaders, isn't it? But sometimes they need criticizing.
Why not be a leader instead of being a follower?
I agree. But then, can you have 7 billion leaders?
Why not, if we're all leading in the same direction?
So that then goes back to what I was saying, looking after people around you and everybody singing off the same hymn sheet.
You know, I think the one word that society has lost is a very simple word. It's two simple letters, and it's we. And we have lost the W or turned it upside down, and it's all about me, me, me. And I think that we need to get back to really caring. I mean, you know, the one thing that I hear a lot about, and you see a lot about on TV, in the news, picking up the newspaper, you know, even here locally, looking at some of the gang stuff that's going on, is youngsters, kids are out of control. And where does that start? I mean, it certainly doesn't start with our government or our politicians or even the local police department. You know, the first question that I would be asking is, why is my 13-year-old out at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3 a.m. running amok and God only knows doing what?
Yeah, that's perfectly true. But, I mean, unfortunately, you do get it where the parents, they're just too idle to even care. Or they haven't got it in them to discipline their child. I understand that. Once you become an adult, then I suppose you are responsible for your own actions. As a child, you're growing up. Even a 13, 14, or 15-year-old, they think they know it all, but they don't really know anything.
But, you know, here's another thing, you know, and I don't know if you find this true in your own life. I know that at a point in my life, I did find it to be a true statement. You know, there were people in my life that kept me stuck and held me down. And, you know, there comes a point where you need to take a stand up and say, no. You know, I'm a firm believer and this is going to sound really bad because I don't believe that anybody is what I would call a throwaway, but sometimes, for whatever reason, some people just don't belong in your life. And, you know, the old saying, people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I think that sometimes negative people come into our lives to teach us a lesson. The problem is that some of us never learn it.
Well, that's true. And I suppose that's this thing about keep coming back from previous lives until you've learned a lesson. It's, you know, this world of ours, this earth, as we call this, is like is the school, isn't it? We are in the school of life.
Classroom never closes.
No, it doesn't. You're right, it doesn't. And how many of us actually find all the answers? Because that's the strange thing, Craig, about even, you know, like you doing your show, I do my show. And, you know, we talk to lots of different people. And we might talk to about similar things to what we were talking about this evening. But, and we think that we've perhaps got a take on what's going on and our own path. But when we actually stop and think about it, okay, we might, other people listening might think that, well, you know, they seem to have got their act together. But you never pass the exam, do you? I don't know what your qualifications over there are, but like, you never get your university degree in life, in the respect of finding, being a total expert in life.
No. You know, and that's, is there such a thing as an expert in any field?
Well, the word expert just means that somebody has studied a lot. They've taken it in. They have got their own take on it, and perhaps they've found out things that other people haven't up until now been able to find out. So, and they're conscientious, and they do it, and it is their main focus, and they become what they call an expert. But it's like the word being a professional. It just means you're doing the same, perhaps, as other people, but you're doing it to the best of your ability, whereas other people might just play at it.
You know, Mr. Allen, it's amazing how time flies when you're around. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. Let's touch a little bit on you, and let's talk a little bit about what Allen does.
Oh, dear, mate. What do I do? That's a good question.
Some days, maybe we can get Ann on the phone here to answer that question.
Oh, perhaps she's downstairs. what do I do? What is it you want to know about me, Craig?
Well, I mean, there's people out there listening that don't know you. I mean...
Okay, I don't know what I am. Perhaps you could answer that, what I am, Craig. I started off on this spiritual journey like probably a lot of people, and didn't know what I was supposed to do, what it was about. Started to do the psychic fairs, doing readings, but then never felt quite fulfilled, and I kind of, I've suddenly found myself helping people who have got bad energies in their homes, people who are ill and healing them. And then some guy from America emailed me out of the blue and said, do you want to host your own radio show? And... oh, that was you when I cried.
Yeah, well, my prosecution's coming for that at some point, I'm sure.
So that put me onto the road of broadcasting, which I do really enjoy. So I've gone from being, I suppose, a clairvoyant. I don't really class myself as a clairvoyant anymore. To a psychic. But I don't really think of myself as a psychic. I don't know what I really do think of myself as. It's almost like being a counsellor sometimes with people. Although I'm not a psychotherapist and I'm not trained as, and I've got no qualifications, it seems that people sometimes come to me for some kind of guidance in their life. So, and it seems to work, which I thank God for, and I just do everything I can to try and help people, and then I have to pinch myself and say, well, got to remember here, Alan, it's not you, You're just being used. But my work over the years has altered totally. I don't do many readings at all now. If somebody wants one, of course I'll do one. But I don't put myself out there to do that. Yet I get a lot of people come to me who have been recommended by other people who have got problems with bad energies in their home, or they've got some form of illness or what have you, and they want some spiritual healing. So I suppose that probably sums up what I'm about, and trying to get the word out with the radio shows as well.
And if someone was wanting to get a hold of you, Alan, how can they do that?
Well, they can go on my website, which is www.calmingthoughts.com, or you can Google Alan Cox Psychic, and you'll find a load on there about me. You can email me at alancox@calmingthoughts.com, and you'll find me on Facebook, and you'll even find me on Twitter. So.
Wow, Alan. They allow you on all those different things.
Well, I think perhaps I have to use a pseudonym. Who knows?
One thing that I will say, and, you know, this can be taken as a dig, or it cannot be taken as a dig, but I think you have become a little bit more clear in your, at least your speaking. It's like you've learned how to talk, because there was a time when I totally couldn't understand a word you said.
Oh, that is just because you got used to the English accent. That's all that is, Craig.
I'm not sure you have an English accent anymore. You sound just like a regular, good old all-American boy.
Is that right, do I really? I will take that as a compliment. Right?
For me, you better.
I'll tell you something, Craig, and this is spot on. That since I've got to know you now, I know a lot of people in America, in all four time zones, and I would think I probably spend as much time talking to people in America as I do in my own country, so which I find quite amazing.
Well, all I can say to that is long live the Queen.
Is that right? What do they say? The King is dead, long live the King.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Cox, I hate to do this, but we got to wrap this up, and I just want to say thank you very much for spending some evening time with me.
It's my pleasure. It saves me getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning to talk to you, and you know very well that I enjoy being your guest, Craig, just like I hope you enjoy when you come on to my show. So hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Sure we will. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody for listening. Have a great evening. And, you know, if you're listening on iTunes or some other thing out there, you know, come on over to www.allonebroadcast. That's A-L-L, the number one, broadcast.com. And join us in our chat room. We like to have a lot of fun.
Can I just quickly say before we tune off, if you hear snoring when you listen to this, right, remember it's between 1 and 2 o'clock over here, so it might be me that you hear the Zeds coming up.